This week's Parsha, Parshas Chayetzara, both begins and ends with Sukkim discussing the Maaseh Machpelah. In the beginning, it discusses how Avraham Avinu purchased it, Sarah Imenu over there. In the end of the Parsha, it mentions how Avraham Avinu himself was buried in the Maaseh Machpelah by his sons. There's a well-known drash that there are three places which the nations cannot possibly have claims against Bnei Yisrael's proprietorship to them. One of them is, of course, the Maaseh Machpelah. The reason why the nations cannot possibly have claims against us is because the Sukkim tell us openly how the Maaseh Machpelah was purchased by Avraham Avinu with a full payment for its value from the original owner. Both in the beginning and the end of the parsha, the pasuk emphasizes the fact that Avraham Avinu purchased it. The other two places are Shechem, which is where Yaakov Avinu bought himself a section after coming away from Laban and returning home, when he stayed there for a year and a half. And the third place is the Har HaBayis, which the pasuk in the Navi tells us David HaMelech purchased with funds from all of Klal Yisrael from its original owner. There seems to be a common denominator among these three places, which might be why the Medrash puts them together and why the pasuk emphasizes the purchase. And that is that all of them have an element of centrality. All the elements of being the center. Shechem is the center of Eretz Yisrael, the Farshim point out. And that is evident from the order of Ore Miklat that were set aside in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah tells us that we must set aside three Ore Miklat in Eretz Yisrael and three in Eber HaYarden, corresponding to the first three. The Gemara tells us that these three that were in Eretz Yisrael were divided along the length of Eretz Yisrael and were equidistant from each other and from the ends of Eretz Yisrael. Two of them were Chevron and Shechem was the middle one of the three in Eretz Yisrael. And if so, it's clear that it's the center of Eretz Yisrael itself. The second place that's mentioned that was purchased with full payment was Har HaBayis. The Gemara tells us that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other nations. Yerushalayim is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and the Har HaBayis is the highest point there, or slightly below it, which it's hard to define a highest point in a round globe, because if it is higher and points away further from the center of the globe, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the tallest point, because it doesn't have to be necessarily a certain point that's the top or bottom of a globe. Everything is, of course, based on the reference point from which you look at it. What Chazal is telling us is that the proper reference point for viewing the globe is that the higher bias is on the top, that you should place that up, which is trying to point to this fact that it's not physically being the highest mountain. Obviously, nowhere near the height of Everest. Not even in Eretz Yisrael itself is it necessarily the highest. But it's pointing to the fact that it's the center of the entire world. That's the part that should be up. And like Chazal say, the place on which the Aron Kodesh was built is the Makom of the Evan Shtia, the stone from which the entire world emanated, means that that's the central point from which everything else comes out. That's the higher bias. And the third place is Chevron. The word Chevron comes from the word Chibur, connection. And that means that Chevron is the place which is able to be a Chibur, a connection, between the heavens and the earth, between the world below and the world above. That's why we find in the pasuk that the Anokim always living in Hebron. Anokim means giants, which Chazal say are so tall that the sun looks like their necklace, which means to say that they're somehow connecting the heavens and the earth. And the Torah tells us that these Anokim were Bnei Elokim, were originally angels that came from heaven and came down to earth living this pseudo-angelic and pseudo-human life, which is showing this fact that the people living there are connecting the heavens and the earth. And in that way, Hebron is the center of all creation, basically, of all the lower creations and the higher creations. That's the place where everything meets. What comes out again is that Shechem is the center of Eretz Yisrael, Har Bayis is a broader center, the center of the entire world, and Hebron is even broader. It's the center of the whole Elyonim and Tachtonim, the upper world above and the world below. It's the place where they both meet, which is the central point between them. That's what's unique about these three places. And it's clear also that these three places correspond to the three Avos, is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram purchased Hebron, Yaakov purchased Shechem. Yitzchak is the one that's responsible for being Manchalos, for giving us Har HaBayis. And that's because even though nobody owned it at the time that Yitzchak was there at the Akedah, and there was no one to purchase it from, later when David HaMelech came to Eretz Yisrael, he purchased the area with the funds of all Klal Yisrael. That was what was given to us from Yitzchak from the time of the Akedah, when he was offered as a sacrifice over there. Right? Avon's got a Hebron, which was a place where, which the Ma'orah that he bought was used for burying the dead, for his mason, which is the ultimate chesed, chesed shalemes, corresponding to Avram Avinu's midah of chesed. Yitzchak corresponds to avoda in the threesome of Torah, avoda, and gemilah chasadim. Avoda meaning the worship of Hashem, which is what is done in Har HaBayis. Yaakov Avinu corresponds to Torah, which is what Shechem was used for when Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. It says that they accepted upon themselves a shvua to keep the Torah. We're in Shechem, in Hagrizim and Ha'evel, Shaliyad Shechem. Rashi calls it the shvua Satorah. That's the place where they accepted the yoke of the Torah upon entering Eretz Yisrael. It's the place that Yaakov Zinu gave us. Well, he finds in Tanakh that Hebron plays a prominent role in David HaMelech's kingdom, as the Navi tells David HaMelech to go to Hebron in order to accept the kingship and to be anointed as king of Israel, which initiated Malchus based David, the only true and natural Malchus that Klal Yisrael ever had. And that is that is probably related to the points that we made about Hebron. Why is that? He said, we pointed out that Hebron is a place of chibur, of connection between Elyonim and Tachtonim, the center of everything. According to the Mekubalim, it's a place where the Neshamos go to, if there's Zaycha, before rising from Shemayim. And the king, as an embodiment of his entire nation, as not just a representative of a nation, but he embodies the entire nation, is the one that unites the whole nation. Chazal tell us that Melech Ketzibur, the king is not viewed as a single person, but rather as a tzibur, as a person that is an embodiment of his entire nation, of all those that he represents. He's not a single person, he's everybody. And by being everybody and putting everybody into one person, he's uniting them. He's able to lead them and to let them follow him and follow his will and his words as a single body. And that's what the pasuk says, "Ahi bishur and melech dehis asef roshe am yachad shiftei Yisrael." It's only possible to have a king when everyone is united, and the purpose of the king is to further unite them. Now that's what Malchus faith David was, and that's why it had to be in Hebron. In Hebron, the central point between all of creation. Because Malchus Beis David was not just a kingdom over Klal Yisrael, or even a kingdom over Eretz Yisrael, but a kingdom over everything, which we find came to fruition in the kingdom of his son Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech ruled over everything, Chazal say. Yeshev Shlomo Kisei Hashem. He ruled over even the Shezim and the Elyonim, the Gemara says. And in order to rule over all of them, he had to unite all of them. And the place that's Mesugal, that's able to connect all the creation, the uppers and the lowers, everything above and everything below, is Chevron, the place of Chibur. And that's where his kingdom started, to show that in this central spot, which is a place which unites all the ends, because the center of any object is obviously the place closest equally or as much as possible to every other point in that object, and this central point which makes everything equal, that's where David HaMelech was made king, in order that he should be king over everything that there is. That's why Hebron was chosen. Well, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael was not Zocha, and Malchus Beis David didn't fan out the way that it should have. You know that eventually it broke down into the double kingdom, but even from the very start, there was already something lacking in Klal Yisrael's acceptance of David HaMelech as king. For we find that when David HaMelech was made king, he stayed 7.5 years as king of Hebron and Yehuda without ruling over the rest of Klal Yisrael. The rest of them did not accept him, even though the Navi said he is the one that Hashem has anointed, Hashem has chosen to be the king of Klal Yisrael. Even Shaul was only a temporary kingship. The true kingship is Akiyav Oshilo, Malchus Beis David, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised through Yaakov to Yehuda, and the bracha that he gave Yehuda. And still Klal Yisrael didn't accept him. They chose Ishbosheth. They went for the children of Shaul. For 7.5 years, David HaMelech was stuck in Hebron, was not allowed to be the ruler of all of Klal Yisrael. And that was a chet of Klal Yisrael, in a sense. There's something lacking. There's something missing there. There's some lack of acceptance of Malchus Beis David that's related to his Malchus in Hebron. Even after he came to Yerushalayim and ruled over all of Klal Yisrael, then when he passed the Malchus down to his son Shlomo, and Shlomo passed it down to his son Rechavam, we find that it was in Shechem that the Malchus was split, and Yeravam ben Nevat set up the upper kingdom, the kingdom of the 10 tribes, that took away the Malchus from Malchus Beis David. Again, the place that caused the division rather than unification was in Shechem. Shechem, because I'll say Mokam Amuchan Leperanias Shom Nischalka Malchus Beis David, the place where Malchus Beis David was divided, was from Shechem. Hebron, instead of being a place of Chibur, ended up being a place of division, and Shechem ended up being a place of division, and Har HaBayis as well, which was supposed to be the place, the Goren David, the place which David HaMelech bought and would be the place that unifies all of Klal Yisrael, through Aliyah LeRegel, through Hakel, when every person in Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, every Jew would come to Yerushalayim and be together in the Beit HaMikdash, that place of unification ended up being a place of division under Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat saw that this would take away his kingdom, and he built Avodah Zarah in other cities, and he prohibited people from going to the Beit HaMikdash and the Regel. He stopped them from coming. He made the Regel, instead, to be a Regel going to his Batei Avodah Zarah and to his kingdom. He divided up Klal Yisrael using the Har HaBayis as a place for division, as something that would provoke division and take away from the Malchus Beis David by having them come to him instead of going to the Beis HaMikdash. The Har HaBayis was also a place of division that weakened Malchus Beis David and showed a lack of acceptance of Malchus Beis David. And of course, we can't possibly know the ways of Hashem, but who knows? Maybe one of the reasons that these three places have been a thorn in our side, especially these last years, when we've seen signs of Geula, signs of the return of Malchus Beis David, and yet Hebron, Shechem, and Har HaBayis are places that we seem to be unable to get a foothold in, even though they're in Eretz Yisrael proper. They're a foothold for our enemies. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at one point that if you don't want this to be part of my kingdom, if you don't want my kingdom to be accepted fully, and you're using these places as break-off points, well, then these won't be part of your kingdom. You're going to have to wait until you get these places back. What do we have to wait for? What are we going to do? How will be zocher them is to get back these places and make and to see Malchus Beis David rule fully over Klal Yisrael? Well, obviously by acceptance of Malchus Beis David, which is the Malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Accepting Malchus Beis David, nowadays Mashiach has not yet come. We don't yet see a representative of Malchus Beis David. So it's hard to say exactly how we're going to accept Malchus Beis David. Well, saying Tehillim might be a way of showing acceptance of David HaMelech, since that was a book that he composed. But there's more than that. As we said, Malchus Beis David was meant to unite all of Klal Yisrael. And the way to be Zocha, the Malchus Beis David, Bishleimut, in its entirety, the way it's supposed to be, is by uniting all of Klal Yisrael, all of the different factions, working together and working with each other. And with that way, we could be Zocha to Vayhi Bishur and Melech, this Asif Rosh Am. You could do that by one way. One important way of doing that is through learning Torah. Torah is what unites all of Klal Yisrael. It's a special gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. As I'll say, there's 600,000 letters in the Torah representing each neshama in Klal Yisrael, which Torah unites. Torah puts it all together. And when each person studies his portion of the Torah, the portion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reserved for him, by learning through the Torah and being Zocha to have his portion revealed for him, he's uniting Klal Yisrael. Especially, of course, if a person's learning Daf Yomi, something like that is certainly an effort that unites Klal Yisrael. As you know, Daf Yomi is unique in the fact that everyone that learns Daf Yomi all over the world from any faction is learning the same Daf at the same time. You could talk to someone in Honolulu about the Daf Yomi, even if he's coming from Eretz Yisrael. And, of course, also by showing our love and showing our support for all Achenu B'nai Yisrael, all those that we can show support for, whether it's in day-to-day life, whether it's those people that have been Meiser Nefesh to live in areas that are heavily populated by Arabs, by showing them our support, whether it's financial support by purchasing their products, whether it's personal support by offering them moral encouragement, all this is going to bring the Achdus. I just want to add that I saw this morning, or Wednesday morning, a plea that was signed by dozens of the greatest of Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. This includes Rav Yoshev, Rav Steinman, and many, many others, that asked everyone to please say three prokim of Tehillim after davening every morning. The three prokim are Pei Gimel, Kuf Lamed, and Kuf Mem Beis, 83, 130, and 142, so that we should, in their merit, Bezat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on us. Secondly, they also ask that people should accept a half a day fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Kislev. That this coming Monday, people should fast until Chatzos, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should Bezat Hashem have mercy on his people and show us be'emet the return of Malchus Beis David and the return of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that all the nations and the entire world we'll see Ki Hashem Elokim.